Red Sox down to their last strike. This is just the 28th batter they've sent to the plate tonight. Eric Clevinger sets. Here's the pitch. Swinging a high fly, center field, not deep. On comes Surrey. He's there, and he makes the catch, and the Red Sox have been shut out by the Tampa Bay Rays.
Joe Castiglione and DMX. It's the mashup you didn't know you needed.
Man, feel bad for Joe.
Yeah.
It's his last go. They can't make these games a little bit better for him? I mean, come on. I know there's not going to be a playoff run,
they
but like some little excitement, a little something.
They cannot.
That's a shame. That's a shame.
It's one of many shames going on with this baseball team. We'll give the Patriots a bit of a break here. We were ripping into them pretty good throughout the course of the show. Patriots Friday, Jones and Keefe. With all your phone calls, 617-779-7937. You want to jump back in on the game, we'll get to you. Disaster performance last night. What do they do at quarterback? How are we feeling about Gerard Mayo and the coaching staff? We just talked to DeMarcus Covington, Patriots defensive coordinator. It's up now on the Odyssey app. You can seek it out on YouTube as well. Just subscribe to WEEI. I will be joined by Mike Unwenu as well, coming up later on today on a Patriots Friday. But Red Sox lose last night. They're one hit. They're getting closer and closer to the bottom of the division, never mind a playoff spot. And we're joined now by Lou Merlone, Red Sox insider. He's brought to you by Shaw's and Star Market. Lou Merlone, how are we doing this week?
I'm doing all right, boys. Yeah. I'm doing okay. I'm hanging in there.
Well, you're doing better than the Red Sox.
Right. 1 week left.
I mean, we've been asking you periodically, are they a playoff? How do they get into the mix? How do they do this? How do they do that? I mean, are they going to finish in last place? Is that where this is going?
Probably not last place, but, you know, Tampa may pass them. You know, the funny thing is like, I kept saying, in order for them to make the playoffs, this rotation has to get a second wind. You know, they have to start throwing the ball better. And they're really the only thing that's turned it around. You know, they've kept them in ball games. But the offense has just disappeared, and the bullpen continues to give games up. So, I guess it's more than just starting pitching, because all around defensively as well, it hasn't been a good couple of months.
You know, I know talent is obviously a major factor in this, but how much of these bad August, bad Septembers, bad second halves do you put on Alex Cora? That seems to be sort of a trend with his teams recently, where they're kind of in it, right on the outside of it at the trade deadline, all-star break, and then things kind of fall apart for him.
Yeah, and I think that's something that kind of eats at him. He's trying to figure it out. I mean, he is the manager. He's responsible for it. I still look at these teams collapsing for different reasons. You know, I think this year it was about youth. I mean, you know, I don't know how many established players do they have, big leaguers, in their lineup each and every night, you know, other than Devers, who has one shoulder right now. I mean, O'Neill, I guess, he's been injury prone. Everybody else are rookies or second year players who are finding out how 6 months of playing baseball difficult that can be. And other than Jansen and Martin, is there anybody out there that's got more than a year or two in the big leagues? You're relying all year long, you know, on Bernardino and Winkowski or Boozer or Slayton, who's a rookie, and Weissert. Like, I just think youth caught up to these guys, and they're figuring out what a big league season is this year.
We talked to you last week about the idea of trading Tristan Cassis and what the Red Sox could do. I don't know. It's been a week. You've had time to chew on that, mull that over, listen throughout the big leagues. What do you think the likelihood is they move on from Tristan Cassis this offseason?
I think they'll look into it, you know. I think that they will, you know, because I do think that as good of a hitter he is, you know, obviously the injury this year, it is what it is. It happened. But I think the league in general still really appreciates his at-bats, his power potential, and everything else. But it's just somebody has to go, you know, like some lefties have to go. Like you look at Yoshida, I get it, like Abreu, Casas from a big league team. And then you've got the prospects down in the minor leagues that are like 3 out of 4 lefties. Like somebody has to be moved here to get a legit starting pitcher brought in and maybe a legit right-handed bat brought in. You know, you can't have a lineup with 8 lefties, you know, in it moving forward. You can't. You see what the issues are this year. You have to get more balance in this lineup, and you have to go out and make big trades that hurt to bring in a right-handed or bring in just a starter.
Do you think, and I know he's not a starter, but do you think the Red Sox and Blue Jays would at least discuss a trade around Tristan Casas and Vlad Jr.?
I think that they would laugh you out of the building.
I'm not saying one for one. I'm saying, like, all right, we start with Casas. He's sort of the centerpiece. And then, like, here are some guys that are not in the big four. I'm just curious because, like, you get into all these sports and it's, like, about the contracts. Like, obviously, Vlad's a better player and a more established player. But if they think they're going to have issues getting another big contract with him, I don't know. And, like, if you throw a couple minor leaguers in there.
No.
Yeah.
I get it because I've seen people discuss this and say that there's no way they'd ever trade Casas for Vlad. And I'm like, hello, flip that. Because the Dodgers, you know, even in Toronto, they're like, no, why would we ever do that? Like, Vlad Guerrero is finally, like, you know, he's got himself in shape. He looks good. You know, he's going to hit free agency. And they've put a lot of money in the Rogers Center, all this other stuff. And I think Bo Bichette's gone. They have to hold on to somebody. And I think that guy is Vlad. Like, people up in Toronto believe that Vlad's not going anywhere. But if he was, yeah. I mean, jeez, you talk about a right-handed bat at Fenway Park. The guy's still a nightmare. I mean, you'd be trying to get him. It's just, you know, now you're back to, okay, another 10-year deal, $350 million, and are we good with that? Because you got to extend him.
Vlad hit his 30th home run last night. He's got 99 RBIs.
Well, to that point, though, do you think, Lou, there is another $300 million deal for somebody in the next couple of years with the Red Sox, or are they done with that?
I don't want to say that they're done with it, but doesn't it sort of have a feeling? It's not like I'm talking to John Henry all the time, but it sort of has a feeling that they're not really interested in 10-year deals, you know,
correct,
$300 million deals. I felt like they were cornered into the Devers situation given what had happened in the past. But, you know, Corbin Burns will be, you know, the test. You know, that guy, whether you want 8 years, $240 or, you know, I think that, you know, they're comfortable in maybe trading for young players and then trying to get extensions. It's always maybe a better way to go about it. But if you're completely out of that game, like that's kind of hard. You kind of need a couple of them, right? You got one of them in Devers. You probably need one if that's an arm. Hopefully that's a decision.
Well, they could have had Ohtani for $700 million. Last night was ridiculous. No one's covered 50-50 watch like Keith and myself.
Oh, we're all over it. I love this.
All over it.
Crazy.
He is now the first 50-50 player in big league history. He goes 6-for-6, 3 homers, 2 doubles, 10 RBIs, 2 steals last night.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. You're obviously a fan of baseball. Like, what does that mean? That's absurd.
Yeah, that's like the, I mean, I don't know. Is there a better night in baseball to have than what that guy had last night?
I don't think there is.
You know, the funny thing is that Ohtani, it's sort of like, you're going to give him $700 million. Now, we know that they finagled it a little bit, but it's like, you know, unless he pitches, you know, he's really not worth that. And I think marketing wise, I think it's been proven that he is. And he's sort of like, oh, okay. So you don't think I have that much value when I'm just a hitter? All right, I'm just going to go win MVP and do something that no one's ever done before and hit 50 homers and steal 50 bags and run away with the MVP. It's sort of like, hold my beer,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, okay. And this is what he's done. He's a unicorn in every single manner. It's every way you can even talk about, but I'll be curious. I don't think he's ever going to touch 50 stolen bases ever again because, remember, he's not pitching this year. When he pitches, he doesn't probably run as much.
Right. No, definitely true. But he went for it. He got it. And also, let's not rule out 60-60. Yep. He's got time for 60-60. The guy's a lunatic.
That's a good
he
point.
Might do it.
I'm not.
Yeah.
I'm not ruling it out at all.
Now, I'm with you on the fact that he's a unicorn, but even when he was winning, you know, MVP and he was doing it for a bad Angels team, I wondered if this would at least open the door for other organizations allowing kids to do this. Like, how many high school kids do you know are the best pitcher and the best hitter on their team, but then they either get to college or they get to the minors, and it's like, you got to pick one.
Isn't Hunter Green one of those? Hunter Green for the Reds. What, he was like a guy who came in and could have played either way, and the Reds made him a pitcher only, right?
Do you think they'll at least open that door, or do people look at it like, nope, oh, now it's only – because a lot of people doubted Ohtani, and there were a guy when he came over from Japan, they're like, you can only pitch for us or whatever. So do you think now there's like, well, I don't know, like, this is pretty cool, and even if he is – 1/5 the player Ohtani is, or 1/10 the player Ohtani is, it still might be a pretty cool thing, and maybe you get another all-star out of it or something.
Yeah, I think teams, you know, maybe like 20 years ago, it was like, no, you're not hitting, even though it was National League style. Like, Bumgarner was one of those guys that sometimes would pinch hit randomly when you're down the bench, but I just don't think people are capable of it. You know what I mean? I just really don't. I don't think a lot of people are able to put in the work. I remember talking to the Red Sox pitchers, like what their week looks like getting ready to pitch. And then talking to the hitters, like what their day looks like on a nightly basis, getting ready to hit. And we're talking about running, fielding, hitting, bullpens, throwing, lifting differently. Like, I don't think anyone's really capable of it. That's why he truly is a unicorn. They can try, but I think eventually you get the double A and you realize you can't hit a breaking ball and you can't hit 95 and you give up hitting, you know, or vice versa.
Right.
So I just don't think you can do it. You know, maybe somebody can in the future. It'd be great. But at that level, I don't think so.
Lou, Joe Castiglione announced this will be his final year in the Red Sox, but 42 years. I guess your thoughts on that, and how's he been, recently? How's it been to be around him here coming down the final stretch?
Well, I haven't been with him the last week. I wasn't on a road trip. I'm on TV here tonight for the weekend, but I know like it's almost similar to the Hall of Fame. Like, I know, like, you know, after the Hall of Fame, man, he was just like walking on water. You know what I mean? He just was like so excited about everything. And we've discussed this kind of privately about moving forward, what he was going to do. So I knew it was in there, but I'm happy for him. You know, it's not an easy decision. This guy's been doing it forever. But he and his wife, I know his wife's probably happy about it as well. It's going to be hard for him, I'm sure, the first year. But Hall of Famer, I mean, class guy. I listened to him as a kid. I listened to him call my first at-bat, and I've been in the booth with him since 2013. And I've learned a lot from him, and I'm still amazed at how good he still is. Mm-hmm. I'm still amazed how much he still cares. His memory is amazing. So I'm going to try to really enjoy the last week, 10 days here with him.
Not to put you on the spot, Lou, but for next year, do you already know what your plan is? Is it going to be TV and radio again? Yeah. Is it going to be all of one or all of the other? Like, what do you know what you're doing yet?
I have absolutely no clue.
Cool.
No clue at all. Did like about 110 games or so this year, and hopefully I like to keep that number, if not higher. So we'll see. Those discussions haven't really happened yet. So hopefully we'll figure that out at some point.
All right, very good.
Lots of places, though, to catch Lou Maloney, of course, on television here on WEEI as well. He's our Red Sox insider. We talk to him every Friday at high noon. Lou, we appreciate the time. Thanks so much.
All right, boys. Have a great weekend.